Hello and welcome to episode 186 of Speak Beastie for September 17th, 2023. I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Jeff.
And it's September. And we're past back to Hogwarts Day, and it's fall, and I was about to say things are getting colder, but I mean, it was still kind of warm around here, so.
Everything is pumpkin spice flavored, and it's fantastic.
At our farmer's market, the bakery that we go to, start selling pumpkin donuts around this time of year. Ooh. It's so good.
Oh, I love pumpkin donuts. I try to stay away from donuts, but whenever I see pumpkin flavored anything, like it's not just the pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin anything, I go nuts for it. I can't help it. I love pumpkin.
Pumpkin bread.
Oh, that's yeah.
So oh, yes. Toasted pumpkin bread.
Speaking of things we love as much as I and Jeff and presumably Amy, I'm roping Amy into the pumpkin loving club. Love as much as pumpkin is this week's Patreon supporter, Robert P. We're going to assume that P stands for pumpkin.
Yeah,
because we love Robert as much as we love pumpkins.
Yeah,
thank you for your support. Moving on to the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors. Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wiggs Knees and How.
We actually do have some bits and pieces of news. Nothing related to Fantastic Beasts, unfortunately, but there is some Fantastic Beasts adjacent stuff. First of all, I know that we're not a celebrity gossip podcast, but I did just want to shout out that Allison Sudol recently had a baby.
So hooray!
Allison.
Yay!
Yay! My favorite actor from the series playing my favorite character had a baby, just like I'm gonna have a baby.
Yeah!
Hooray!
Anybody's.
Do we know the baby's name? Did they say?
No, she just posted a picture of a hand saying it's just as good the second time around. Aww. Very cute post.
So she's already got at least one child?
Yeah, she's the older one, I think, is named Willow? And she's,
as
she's
in the
still,
Disney
like,
Plus show,
like,
Willow?
Two or three.
Wait, like the baby's name is Willow, or they were in the Willow show that they did on Disney Plus?
No, the baby's name is Willow.
Okay, I mean, I would believe both.
And she is... Like, she is small. Like, I feel, yeah. I think she was pandemic baby. Yeah. So she's okay. Probably two or three. So congratulations to Allison. If you look on her Instagram post, you can see that, like, Victoria Yates and Poppy Corby Took are all commenting on her post. Very cute. Second bit of news that is Fantastic Beasts adjacent is that Harry Potter Magic at Play closed in Chicago over Labor Day weekend, and it has finally been announced the next city it is going to. That is going to be opening in Seattle in November. And tickets are available now if you are in that area. If you'll recall, Newt's case and scarf do show up in the maze area of Magic at Play, and there's a couple of quotes from Newt throughout the maze as well. And also, Dougal and Pastries are there. So
aww.
There are some Fantastic Beasts references. It's a lot of fun. And I'm glad that they finally announced where it was going to be, because I was kind of worried that it just wasn't going to keep touring after Chicago, because that has happened before, that things have opened to great fanfare here and then just not toured.
So with Magic at Play heading to Seattle and LeakyCon heading to Portland next year, I guess we should keep an eye on anything else that's headed for the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything has felt like it's been kind of Midwest-y or Southern for a while now, and now it seems like everything's kind of migrating to the West Coast. So 2024 is going to be the year that everybody is in Washington, Oregon, California, and then they're going to go completely the other way in 2025. Everybody is going to be in the Northeast.
Well, that'll be convenient for you, Amy.
Yeah, right?
See, that's the thing, though, with all of these events that move around from city to city is that they're always convenient for some people, but not so convenient for others, because there are a lot of conventions that some people never get to visit because they are always in the exact same place. I staff a convention like that because part of what makes us us is the place that we have it and the community that we have around us. We have people who travel from a little bit further away than others some years because sometimes they can and sometimes they can't. But especially with a lot of the Potter-related stuff, it seems like it kind of moves around, and it does seem like it kind of follows a pattern. Like, it services the Midwest one year, and then it moves to the West Coast the next year. And I really do, like, I kind of said it jokingly a minute ago, but I really do think that in 2025, a lot of that stuff is either going to move north or northeast.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
LeakyCon, South Dakota. LeakyCon Bismarck. Yes. That's in North Dakota.
All five people who live in South Dakota are like, finally! Our time has arrived!
Yep. Only five people live in that whole state.
Speaking of traveling exhibitions, I believe this is the first time we're getting an opening date and a location for this. Harry Potter Visions of Magic will be opening in December 2023 in Cologne, Germany.
Hmm.
Oh, wunderbar.
So, not convenient, at least for me, potentially convenient for other people who listen to this show. Cough, cough, Sophie, cough, cough, report back. featured in the trailer that was released on Back to Hogwarts Day were the mermaids under the Black Lake, the Kelpie, moon calves from Newt's Case, and the French Ministry. So,
ooh,
there is definitely some Fantastic Beasts representation that's going to be in Visions of Magic.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I will link the trailer in the show notes. It is a beautiful trailer. Like, it's supposed to be, they're billing it as an interactive art show. And it looks like it's a lot of projection mapping that you will be able to interact with using a, like, I'm presuming it's the same RFID wand technology that they use at the parks.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like you'll be able to interact with the projection mapping using the wands.
That's
like, it looks
cool.
Really cool. And I don't have this on the doc, but I did see something posted about it on MuggleNet, and I think it's hilarious, so I'm going to share it as well. Cursed Child is being released for school productions.
Oh, I can see it now.
In two parts, so you got to come back for part two the next day.
This extremely spectacle-heavy show is being released to teenagers and high schools that have iconically large budgets and really good eyes for spectacle and stuff. I mean, I know that there's like a Lion King Jr., so I know it's possible, but boy howdy.
Hey, I'm just gonna put this out there. My high school, New Albany High School in New Albany, Indiana, was one of the first public high schools to perform Beauty and the Beast and High School Musical on stage. And yes, we put ourselves in a tremendous amount of debt for both of those shows. Although, with High School Musical, we made some of it back because that movie was still very popular and we had to add multiple shows. We couldn't sell the tickets fast enough. So it was like printing our own money because we got it royalty free. I'll tell you about that later. But point is, some high schools actually can pull off slightly bigger shows. So I think there probably are some high schools out there who will be able to do this thing the way it's done in a more major production with professionals. But then there are probably some schools that are going to have to make it work, which is why I thought it was a cool thing when they announced that there were high schools all over the country that were performing Puffs. Because Puffs is exactly the kind of show that your average high school theater company should probably be taking on. Mm-hmm. The thing that always amuses me when you're watching a high school production is if you go to community theater and you see, like, A Christmas Carol, for instance, You have a middle-aged to older gentleman playing Ebenezer Scrooge, and you have a little boy playing Tiny Tim. The actors look at least somewhat close to the age of the characters that they're playing. But what always amuses me about high school productions is you have elderly people, you have young people, you have all of the, you have all these different, you have this range of people that have to be represented by actors who you can tell through the best makeup and wigs and costumes that they are capable of pulling off are the same age.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You should have seen our Daddy Warbucks when we did Annie. We were going to shave his head. The guy who got cast in the role, he begged the director. He said, "Please let me shave my head." And the director said, "No, we have other shows that we're working on, you know, doing, because we're in your junior year and we can't have you, you know, growing your hair back from nothing. We tried a bald cap, it didn't work. So we made this, we gave this guy salt and pepper hair, and I just couldn't help it. He looked like a 17-year-old boy with salt and pepper hair. But we did our best."
My sophomore year, we did Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, and picture it.
Oh, I'm picturing it.
It's 2000. Let me think. That was my sophomore year. So it was 2000. We are a bunch of Appalachian teenagers. Putting on Fiddler on the Roof.
A bunch of Appalachian teenagers. I can't get over that.
Zero Jewish families in the entirety of Stuart Straff, Virginia.
Uh-huh. See, that's so when you said that. That's what I thought. Okay.
Great.
Oh, that's my hilarious. Goodness.
So regardless, cursed high schooler. I know that there's going to be some high schools to pull it off. There's one near us. If you live in the Chicagoland area, I'm not going to name it because you already know who I'm talking about. They have three theaters, two swimming pools, a compound of a school. They're going to be able to pull off Cursed Child just fine.
They got the dough.
And I mean, there are, as we all know, there, like what you just described, there are performing arts academies that are specifically geared towards preparing children for going to NYU or what have you to study performance, or to just head straight to New York after they finish performing arts UL. There are definitely high schoolers who will be able to pull that off.
Oh yeah, no, I know. It's just with my personal high school theatrical experience, the idea of my high school doing Cursed Child is, I would actually go back home to watch that.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. My high school would have died to have a chance at performing Cursed Child. The only obstacle that would have held us back is we did not usually do straight, quote unquote, straight plays. And Cursed Child is a great, big, giant, super long, not musical. And anytime we wanted to do a play that wasn't a musical, whether it was big or small, our director got very nervous because our past history told us we won't sell tickets unless we do a musical. The thing is, I was in high school in that period in the 2000s where people were just starting to realize that every musical written before the 1990s is super problematic and we can't do them anymore, and even some of the ones they're writing now, you can't do in front of every audience. Have you guys ever thought about how no public high school can perform any musical written by Rodgers and Hammerstein anymore because there's at least one major problem with each of them?
I'm
pretty sure I could write that essay, but we would have died to have a shot at performing Cursed Child. That might have actually been the one non-musical that we would have actually gotten our director to let us take a shot at.
Oh yeah, you know the high schools that do it are gonna make money hand over fist. People are gonna be running to see it.
That was a really enlightening discussion of Cursed Child on this Fantastic Beasts podcast.
And that's it. That's the episode.
Anyway, that's enough about Cursed Child. So that's the news. We also do not have any owl post. So if you have feelings about Cursed Child being done in high schools or whatever we talked about so far, or if you want to just share with us your traumatic experiences about your high school theater program.
Oh gosh, yes, like... please send us your high school theater stories. We need those. Like,
do
I want enough of those to fill a whole like Owl Post episode.
Yeah. I will share with you. I will promise you this, listeners. If you email me your embarrassing high school theater stories, I will email you back with the story of how my almost all white high school did a production of Once on This Island.
Oh geez.
You had some good ones. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? You do that, and I'll tell the story of how not only did we perform a musical about the downfall of the last royal family of Hawaii with a cast full of white children. It was a musical that was written and composed by our high school drama teacher and a partner of his.
Oh, no.
They wrote it, and we did it, and then years later, we realized that was probably not a good idea.
Oh my god, I really thought I had the trump card here with Once on This Island. That is so much worse.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Perhaps at this point we should pivot into something a little bit more festive. What do you say?
Yeah!
Pivot! Yes.
Oh my god, did you just make a... I think we just unintentionally made a Friends reference. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
I don't think that was unintentional.
Pivot!
That was...
extremely intentional on my end. Sorry.
Gosh, it's amazing how a show can make you invoke it with just one word. Anyway.
So good.
So today, instead of a traditional main discussion like we would normally have on the show, we're going to do something a little bit different that I promise you guys is going to be super fun. So as regular listeners may recall, recently, at LeakyCon, Anne and I, along with Carolyn and Marjolin, did a Fantastic Beasts panel, which you can go back and listen to. It was really super fun. It was so good. Totally unbiased here. But the day before that, I was invited by my friend Megs from Care of Magical Shippers to do a fan fiction panel where we played a game called Frantic Fanfic, and we even got the audience in on it. I told some of my other hosts here about it, and I thought it would be fun if we played this game because we were also talking about how there really isn't that much Fantastic Beasts fanfiction out there. So I thought maybe we could create the Fantastic Beasts fanfiction by playing this game. You guys excited?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's how this works. For anybody who wants to play along at home, you can play this game with your friends. It's online. It's totally free. It is super easy to use. So we're all going to log into franticfanfic.com. You guys got it?
Yep.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to do, we've got our profiles created. We did go ahead and do those ahead of time. So Anne, Amy, you both got your profiles ready?
Oh, yes. I'm the bouncing potato, ready
I'm
to go.
I'm a little ghost.
I'm a little skeleton. I look like a skeleton who goes to a lot of coffee shops because he's got boots and a scarf. For my username, I have the same one that I used when we did this at LeakyCon in Chicago. So I'm The Rock, but Rock is spelled with a W because Wizard Rock. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and hit start. I will create the game, and then you guys will join it. We're going to do a standard version of the game. There are other options in here that you can choose if you want to switch it up with some variety. For game speed, I'm going to keep it at frantic, and the way that this is going to work, we may have to skip ahead a little bit for our listeners at home, just so you don't have to listen to several minutes of us just typing and going... But I'm going to keep the game speed at 3 minutes. So how this will work is each of us will write 3 minutes to start a fanfic, and then it will shuffle them around. We get an extra minute to read what the last person wrote, and you add on to it. Then it shuffles them around again. You do likewise. You get 2 extra minutes because you have more to read, and then you write the conclusion. And then at the end, We read through the fan fictions that we all created. You vote on which parts are your favorites, which titles are your favorites, all other stuff. And then we figure out who the winner is. Super easy, super fun. All right, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
All right, I'm going to create the game. The code is E9RX, so just type that in and let me know when you guys are ready to play.
All right, I'm in.
I'm in.
All right, now let's go ahead and I'll click on the book to get us started. So the first thing that we have to do is we each have to write 5 potential fanfic characters. And I want to make sure that we don't overlap characters here, so that's why we're going to share with each other the characters that we want to make a part of this. And we want to try to keep this as centered around Fantastic Beasts as possible, but if you guys want to throw in a couple of wild cards, you never know what's going to inspire people to write great fanfiction. So I'm going to start with an obvious choice. I'm going to pick Kowalski.
Ooh, good one.
All right.
I'm going to go for Tina.
Okay, Tina.
I'll put in Newt, because we need Newt.
Okay, now I'm going to switch it up, and I'm going to put in a beast, so I'm going to go with Dougal.
You know, I'm also going to go for a beast. I'm going to say the giant squid.
Nice. Technically right. Still a fantastic beast.
I'll put Picket.
Ooh, good one.
All right, we've got Picket. Now let's see. Let's do one for the ladies, which I said like a real lady. I'm going
that's
to
how
go...
That's how ladies talk. Can confirm.
Let's see. I pick Queenie.
Well, if we're going for one for the ladies, then I'm going to put in Percival Graves.
All right. Very we got to put Aberforth in.
Oh, sure we do.
Every good fanfic starts with Aberforth.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, I want to make this next choice somewhat unexpected. So, I'm going to say George Weasley.
Ooh. What was the name of the middle barebone sister, the crazy one?
Modesty?
Was that Modesty?
The one who said
Chastity,
yeah. The one who said, Chastity, "Let me know, tell me if you see anything suspicious," and rang the bell, and yeah. That was her whole gig. And the, like they did a casting call for her to do those two things.
Okay, that was my fourth. Is Chastity Barebone?
You know what? I did this in the practice round, but we're gonna go with it again because I think it's funny. Landon Shaw.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Just thinking of the possibilities here.
Okay, and now for our final, and then we'll go back and we'll read over these one more time before we submit. I'm going to encourage you guys to reach outside of this magical fandom and see if any of these pairings really strike your fancy. I'm going to pick Darth Vader.
Ooh!
Because there was a fanfic that I think I can still get my hands on, because I think Megs uploaded them all to an AO3 server when we were done playing the game. There was a fanfiction between Darth Vader and Peter Pettigrew. Lifted him up with... He sensed the presence of another man, so he used the Force to lift him up, and then it was a rat floating in the air, and Darth Vader said, "Eek! A rat!" That's exactly what this game is all about, moments like this. So reach outside the fandom, what do you got?
In that case, I'm going to go for... this is heavy. I think I'm going to say... Sven from Frozen.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, ooh.
No, that's the reindeer.
I'm sorry. I thought Sven was the guy who went, ooh, ooh.
No, that's Oaken. He would also be a good choice. Ooh, Oaken might be a better choice than Sven, actually. I'm going to
get Oaken. Well, then I'm glad I said something.
All right, I'm going to go with Peter Parker.
Nice.
So, before we submit, to review, my list of potential characters includes Kowalski, Dougal, Queenie, George Weasley, and Darth Vader. Anne, what do you have?
I have Tina, the giant squid, Percival Graves, Chastity Barebone, and Wandering Oaken.
Lovely. Amy, what do you have?
I have Newt Scamander, Aberforth Dumbledore, Pickett, Landon Shaw, and Peter Parker.
Mm. Excellent choices.
Okay, and now we will all submit our characters. They will get randomly mixed up into 5 different grab bags, and each of us will choose from a list of 5 potential characters.
I'm
not going to tell you guys. We won't give away until we read these fan fictions which characters are paired up. But I will tell you that my potential list now includes Aberforth Dumbledore, Newt Scamander, Landon Shaw, Percival Graves, and Peter Parker.
I'm not even going to say mine because it's going to be obvious who I'm going to pick. So
Yep, same.
All right, so Amy and Anne's are both completely shrouded in mystery. I have my pairing, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. So I will click set up fanfic. I am good. Okay. Looks like Amy's good, Anne's good. And now we will write the first part of each of our potential fics with the pairings that we chose. 3, 2, 1, go. Ten, nine, eight, seven, I'm done by the way, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and done. Did everybody get to finish the first round?
I didn't introduce my second character at all, so good luck whoever gets that one.
Uh-oh. All right, because your second round is getting ready to start. We get an extra minute to review what the other person wrote, and then you get to go.
All right, I'm done.
I'm done.
Stand by, please.
This is a masterpiece.
I'm done. This is a disaster piece.
No, it's beautiful and iconic and wonderful. 10 out of 10, already no notes.
Okay, so we are now writing
the final part
of each of these fan fictions. You have 2 minutes to read and 3 minutes to write. Go! Three,
this is not much
two,
of a conclusion.
One, okay.
It's beautiful.
And now, my friends, we have reached the end of our fanfiction writing exercise. And now each of us will go back to the fanfictions that we started writing at the top of the game and provide them with titles. I was going to do this thing that I noticed some people were doing when we played this game where you take your favorite line from the fanfiction and make that the title, which fanfiction authors would usually do. But I didn't. I was about to, and then I decided to change the title. So now we will read through the fanfictions, and along the way, we are allowed to vote for each part that we did not write. You can't vote for yourself. Each part has 7 possible emojis you can click. That way you vote for your favorite. And then at the end, there will be some bonus votes that we can also select. So we will start with Webmaster Scamander, starring Newt Scamander and Peter Parker. Peter Parker was swinging through New York, the only city that superheroes ever seem to be in when there's trouble. Newt Scamander arrived in New York on business, the only city that travelers ever seem to arrive in when there's trouble. Newt was making his way downtown, walking fast, faces passing. What?
And he's homebound?
Well, he just arrived in New York on business, so probably not. As I was saying, he was making his way downtown, walking fast, faces back. Okay, now I see it. When suddenly he looked up and saw a man-shaped spider in brilliant red and blue swinging through the air. What an impressive specimen of creature, said Newt to no one in particular. I must study him. Newt apparated several yards every few seconds after making sure there was nobody watching him, because he was very discreet and not at all in danger of giving away that he was a wizard. I bet they do this all the time in the U.S., Newt said under his breath, because he truly and deeply understood American culture and how magic worked over there. He apparated again and slammed into something warm, but unyielding. Oh, good lord. Hi, said the man-shaped spider. He held a long, thin piece of fried dough in one hand, although he didn't seem to have any way to eat it. Churro? Okay, this should have been a Deadpool fanfic if you were going to go with a churro. I'm sorry, Newt said, taken aback. He wasn't used to his subjects talking to him, much less offering him fried treats. Do you want a churro, English? The man-spider repeated. Since you're following me? No, thank you, Newt said. How did you know? I was being very subtle. Despite his mask, Newt got the distinct impression that the man-spider was lifting an eyebrow. Doctor Stranging it all over New York is not subtle, my man. Doctor Stranging it. Oh, boy. Doctor Who? I see what you did there. Okay. Doctor Who? Replied a puzzled Newt. Newt was often puzzled, but this was an increased amount of puzzlement. No, not Doctor Strange. No, Doctor Strange, not Doctor Who, replied the Spider-Man. Wait, is this a special man-acromantula dialect? Newt asked, intrigued. He whipped out a notebook and started taking furious notes. What are your origins? He was exastic to be able to just ask and receive answers for once. It really cut back on the amount of research needed when your subject could communicate back to you in English, rather than hoots, grunts, or complicated dances under the moon. Acro, what's it? The Spider-Man masked, so there was no confusion on his face. Newt was now down on the ground opening his suitcase. Now, if you would be so kind as to hop inside, man-acromantula. No way, man. I'm not falling for that easy of a trap, said the Spider-Man.
Oh, amazing. Iconic. No notes.
I love it. And now we will move on to a fanfiction entitled All the Lovely Things, starring Queenie and Oaken. I just love how I think the way this worked out is every one of these has one Fantastic Beasts character and one not Fantastic Beasts character, so I appreciate you guys leaning into that angle with me. That's exactly how this should go.
I love it.
So, All the Lovely Things, starring Queenie and Oaken. Yoo-hoo, big summer blowout! Oaken was well-practiced in the greeting by this point, so it was with great ease that he called it out when the shop bell rang. In walked Queenie, a gorgeous blonde wearing a fabulous pink coat and matching pumps. Oaken's draw dropped. Because I'm reading this the way it's written. Don't know what a draw is, but it dropped apparently. But he recovered quickly enough. After all, this was a professional setting. Yoo-hoo, get your bikinis and all things beach-related here. Oh, sugar, I'm not here to buy. It's what I can offer you that brings me in today, Queenie said with a wink.
Amy, this is all ages.
Queenie then whipped out an enormous trunk. I'm here today to tell you about Queenie's Lovely Things, a collection of lovely things by Queenie that will make you look lovely. Or am I? Suddenly, the tone in the room got very dark and dramatic. It was the incredible power of Disney and Warner Brothers special effects budgets combined. It was like a Michael Bay movie, but with actual plot and substance. As quickly as it started, it subsided, and all was normal. Just kidding, honey. That's a little demonstration of what I can do for you. I can bring some pizzazz and some drama to your product line and help reel in the customers. Woohoo, said Oaken to remind the audience that he was still a part of this scene. That sounds good to me. Woohoo, said his family in the sauna, because we are not erasing the fact that Oaken has a beautiful same-sex partner and a beautiful family. Just then, the sun
Fun
vanished.
Fact, same-sex marriage is legal in Arendelle. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, the only thing... Yeah, it has to be. Just then, the sun vanished behind some gray clouds, and snow started pouring from the sky.
Is that you too?
Oaken asked, though he knew very well it wasn't. Queenie shook her head.
No, but I figured, you know, Norway. Probably happens a lot, right?
Not in the July,
Oaken said grimly. I didn't say that grimly. I'm going to try that again.
Not in the July,
Oaken said grimly. Queenie suddenly gasped.
This happened before? Your queen is magic?
How did you know?
Oaken asked.
Good guesser, Queenie replied. Can we go visit her?
Of course, Oaken said. Yoo-hoo, family, roll the trip.
So they all piled into Queenie's Studebaker and gave Elsa a treat which ended the eternal winter. And now we move on. Okay,
can I
might
explain
need...
the title?
Yes, the title is... please. Okay, you read the title, please.
Okay, so the title is Three Breads and Two Tartan. And it is a reference to Darth Vader's bakery order, which is pon, 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 tartan, partatan.
God.
Go to your room.
What have we done? What is this episode?
Oh, mercy. This is exactly, this is everything I hoped it would be and more. That's what this episode is.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Three breads and two tartatan. I said that right.
Yes.
Starring Kowalski and Darth Vader. It's a typical day in Space New York. Jacob whistles to himself as he pulls a tray of space ponchkis out of the space oven. I hate you. Albert, he yells, turning towards the front of the store. How we doing on space ponchkis? Running low on space plum, sir, Albert calls back. Jacob curses. Space plum was the one flavor he hadn't made. Suddenly, the door blows open and a menacing song starts to play. Jacob hears Albert gasp from the front room, and setting the tray of space ponchkis down with a bang, hurries out. Was all the figure said. Hello there, mister, said Jacob. I didn't quite catch that. Can you repeat that order? Darth Vader just stood there, just breathing. Looking puzzled, Jacob picked up a space apricot pastry. Dang, really? Okay, no, we're doing this. A space apricot pastry. He raised an eyebrow as if to say, this one? Darth Vader lifted a gloved hand and pointed to the case. Jacob gulped. He was afraid of this. He wasn't sure why, considering he hadn't exactly expected Darth Vader in his shop. But even though it was something he could have never predicted, he had come to dread it. Darth Vader was pointing right at the Space Hawaiian Punch. Space Hawaiian Punch, Diracol Mini Pie. The one treat that was untested and untasted in the shop. Albert wasn't supposed to put that in the display case this morning. He would deal with that later. Darth Vader pulled out his space laser sword, you know the one I'm talking about, and pointed it in Kowalski's face. Oh yeah, buddy? Well, I got one of them too! Kowalski pulled out his space wand that was a gift from a helpful man who never spoke in riddles and always follows through on his promises. To everyone's surprise, including Jacob's, the space wand expanded and turned into a space laser sword, just like Darth Vader's, but in a different color, so it still looks cool when they're next to each other. I knew it! I knew it was for real, said Jacob.
So, said Darth Vader, you are the one the prophecy foretold of, the one who will bring balance to the forks.
No!
The dessert forks! Come over to the dark chocolate side and make pastries for the Empire's new coffee shop/bakery.
You will provide snacks and caffeine for our stormtroopers on open mic nights and during social justice awareness meetings, because we are into that now. And so that... What? Was it the open mic nights or the social justice?
I just don't see the space Nazis doing space social justice awareness, but... Maybe they're cool now. I don't know.
Maybe times have changed. They just needed some pastries.
They just needed some pastries.
And so that's how Kowalski's Bakery became the number one hangout spot in the Empire. The Space End.
Oh my god, space beautiful.
Love it.
When everybody has got their votes in, we can proceed to the bonus vote. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. All set.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, now vote for your personal favorite. Most titillating title. And promising prose. Alrighty, and the winner of this game is Anne with 9,600 points. Second place, me with 8,500 points. And woohoo! Amy is in third with 8,300 points.
Third or nothing!
Third or nothing! See, when you play this game with three people, there's no losers, because first place means you win. Second place means that you weren't the bottom, but you weren't the top either. But third means you get third or nothing, and that's a wonderful reference to make.
That's the place you want to be!
Exactly. Right. Additionally, Anne, you won personal favorite, most titillating title, and the Promising Prose Award. I won a Promising Prose Award as well, as did Amy. So what's funny is we each got a Promising Prose Award vote from somebody else, but Anne walked away with most titillating title and personal favorite. I mean, come on. That I've noticed the key to a great fan fiction is Darth Vader.
Of course.
You just, yeah, there's so much true. You can do with Darth Vader.
I was really trying to figure out a way to have Darth Vader go, I hate sanding sugar. It gets everywhere. But I couldn't guess that in 3 minutes.
Love that.
So, listeners, I've downloaded these fanfics. I am going to create a Speak Beastie AO3 account, and I will put these on here.
Fantastic. So you see, by playing this game, not only have we had a wonderful time with friends, and not only have we educated our listeners who might not have known how to play Frantic Fanfic, but we are generating Fantastic Beasts fanfiction. So now people can't say there isn't any anymore, because we have written it.
And it's super high quality stuff.
It's great stuff.
The best stuff. Absolutely. No, this one, like, I want somebody to, especially the one between Newt and Spider-Man.
Yes, that was
so good.
I need
somebody to continue that one.
Yes. I downloaded our practice round, too.
Oh no!
Oh, we should post those too.
Yeah. So
okay.
We got those.
So for everybody just listening at home, we did a practice round of this before we hit record to make sure everybody was familiar with how the game would go. And I kept thinking to myself, it's a shame that we don't have the microphones on right now, because people would love these. But Amy apparently thinks of everything. So if you check out our server, which we'll advertise on our social medias, not only will you get printed versions of the fanfictions we wrote today, you can also read the bonus fanfictions that we wrote during our practice round.
And I promise they are just as high quality.
Yeah, trust me, Morty, the payoff is huge.
As the ones that you heard today.
Yes.
I feel like I should snip this and put it on my AO3 profile that I won. This is so exciting.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. That wraps up our main discussion. I think we do have time for our segment. Amy, if you want to...
Yeah. All right, cool. So in continuing with the theme of fan fiction, we're going to look back in time at the origins of fan fiction and how it came about.
This is such a fun idea.
A few times should do it, love.
So, a lot of people regard Dante's Inferno as fan fiction based off the Bible, which, yeah.
And it's because it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's a self-insert AU with your bestie cakes, Virgil.
Yeah, exactly. Worded exactly like that, too.
Exactly like that.
However, most academics seem to agree that fan fiction, as we know it, actually came about in the 1700s, which is funny that even back then they were doing this with their favorite characters. Found this really great article on The Atlantic, and it was written by Shannon Chamberlain, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of California, Berkeley. It even brings up Harry Draco Fix, which I just thought was so fitting.
Those are the pinnacle of fan fiction right there. Harry Draco fanfics are hard to beat.
Oh, so good. You'll notice we didn't put Harry or Draco in any of our fics because, you know, that market is just covered. Like,
yeah. It's true.
We gotta branch out. Chamberlain says, Gulliver's Travels, which was published in 1726, marked the start of the fanfic movement. So, Jonathan Swift's hero, I can never say the first name. But that's the beauty of reading, right? You can just say it however you want.
Lemuel
Gulliver. Lemuel? Yeah, something like that. Lemuel Gulliver saw his travels expanded through readers' imaginings. So just like today, readers were putting pen or quill to paper and expanded their favorite character's life and experiences beyond what the original text had laid out. Also, just like today, fanfics of old explored social taboos and sexuality.
Oh, my.
Some of the examples. I'll let y'all read through that article yourselves and click through stuff. There's some great examples. But Alexander Pope actually wrote a series of poems about Gulliver's wife's sexual frustrations while her husband was away on his travels, and then how they continued when he returned back home and didn't want to perform his husbandly duties. She was very upset.
All I'm going to say is I haven't read those poems, but I have a feeling I'd rather read those poems than reread Gulliver's Travels, because I read that in my senior year of high school, and my gosh, that book just is all over the place, and other people may have gotten more out of it than me, but I got nothing from Gulliver's Travels. I would rather watch the Jack Black movie version of Gulliver's Travels than this.
And that's saying something.
And that's like bottom tier Jack Black. That's nowhere near his best work.
So another 1700s novel that sparked a lot of fanfics was Samuel Richardson's Pamela. The original story is about the lady's maid resisting overtures made by her employer, but fanfics had her giving in quite scandalously.
I'm starting to see a pattern here, and I'll be honest, that does track with a lot of the fanfiction that is out there.
Sure does. We haven't changed much.
Why if it ain't broke, you know?
Yeah. So back then, fellow novelist Henry Fielding wrote his own version of Richardson's novel and called it Shamala. In Shamala, Pamela is actually just pretending to be pure in order to increase the desire of her boss. And she works with her mother and they're like basically conspiring against him to entrap him is the goal of Shamala. So with all this going on, Samuel Richardson, the original guy who wrote the original Pamela, he actually tried to work readers' ideas into later works, and he would keep up letter correspondence with them since there was no internet to see their fix and their desires for these characters.
Oh, Sam, that didn't you see the second season of Glee? That never worked.
No.
The fans don't know what they want.
No, no, no. I'm sure it was a hot mess.
So it was Glee, but continue.
So all this was going on, and obviously a big discussion around fanfics is always copyright stuff. In 1710, what's considered the first modern copyright law went into effect, the Statute of Anne. Hey, Anne.
Hey, it's me! Only it's spelled wrong.
Anne with an E. this law gave authors, not publishers, the rights to their work for 14 years, but it didn't address if others could use their characters and concepts to create works of their own. So you did actually have some instances where things that were clearly fanfic got published and the author of the fanfic made money, which in today's world still happens, but there's usually a lot of lawsuits and things can happen to prevent making money off of fanfics now. It's a little bit of a gray area, but yeah. So,
and then you have, names. Speaking of gray area, some fanfictions are even, say, 50 Shades of that, and they end up doing well enough for themselves, apparently.
So, fun fact, I remember the day we were talking about that book that may or may not be a fanfiction, and I remember that was the day I had to explain to my friend the concept of AU fanfictions.
Uh-huh.
Because she didn't understand how they could be those people who are not in Seattle and a lawyer? Mm-hmm. Because they are in fact a high schooler and a vampire. Or not a high schooler and a vampire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't understand how they were in this other thing, so then I had to be like, oh no, I've been too online for too long. How do I explain this to my friend who is a normie?
So, fanfic has been going on for centuries. So, we're just joining in on an age-old tradition and just keeping it alive, you know? Because art and culture... It's definitely what comes to mind when I think of what we just wrote.
Hey.
You know what? We created joy and we felt feelings today.
That is
exactly what great fan fiction does.
It's true.
Yes.
So for today's podcast question, we're going to turn our fix over to the listeners and ask them to choose which fic from episode 186 was your favorite. We would really love to hear from you guys which one you laughed about or loved the most, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or you can send us an email at speakbeastie@gmail.com if you have, say, a conclusion to the Webmaster's Commander story that you would love to turn in. We would love to hear that. And in the meantime, you can also leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing.
While you are out and about on the internet, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, Tumblr, I think, speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com, and after this episode, and within the next couple days, on Archive of Our Own at SpeakBeastie. I'll put that link in the show notes. You can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/SpeakBeastie. You'll get stickers, coloring pages, all sorts of exclusive content. We also have the Speak Beastie Common Room, which is for our subscribers. And recently, I had a million ribbons from Leaky Leftover, so I asked our patrons, hey, who wants a ribbon? And I was able to get rid of them. So thank you all. Thank you for taking my ribbons. I didn't need them in my house. So in the future, if we have, you know... Join the Patreon, join the Facebook group. Maybe you too will get cool stuff that we are sending out. I think that wraps it up.
It sure does.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Anne.
I'm Amy. Case closed.